Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get this going. All right, excited about tonight's call. This is kind of a fun one. It's the most nourishing foods. And so we're getting really kind of the weeds here of how to, you know, which foods are the most nourishing and how to prepare them. And we start with this quote. We've heard this before, I imagine. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And that's really what this lesson here is all about. So let's kind of hop right into it. This was really inspired and based on the information in the book Eating on the Wild Side by Joe Robinson. I love this book. I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend this book. I think it's great. To me, it was kind of I've mentioned How Not to Die in the past, which I love as well. That's a slog. That's a lot of information there, a lot of, you know, info. So Eating on the Wild Side, there's a lot of information in that, but it's just more accessible. So I would strongly recommend that you get this book and read it, because I think it will help change your paradigms of how you think of food. It certainly did mine. Okay. And so, again, I want to give you some kind of the high points here. So really what we're talking about, what this book was all about and what we're going to be talking about tonight is the idea of optimum nutrition. And sometimes, you know, that can be hard to figure out, right? I mean, it feels like there's always these new discoveries and stuff. And so what I like about the way this book's kind of laid out there is that it basically kind of it references how we used to eat and how we ate for hundreds of thousands of years, right? Or as long as we've been on the earth, we were kind of eating these types of foods in this way. And so, you know, again, you can't always dictate how you want to eat based on how we ate in the past, right? Because again, we have, you know, farming now, we have obviously supermarkets and the ability to manufacture our food that we didn't have then. But one thing I think you can draw from it, and that I really got in this book, is this idea of eating, again, going back to optimum nutrition, that we're looking for wild food. Because again, so one of the things she talks about, let me see, I'll get to it. So before I get into the phytonutrient aspect of it, what this really references back to, if you listen to in the Eight Habits, talking about nourishment, getting nourishment into your body. And again, I want to be clear, the nourishment concept within the Eight Habits is separate from not eating. So it's not about eating well, right? So it's not about saying, oh, I'm not going to eat that cookie, I'm not going to eat that ice cream. That's an aspect of weight loss as well, is saying no to things. No question about it. The nourishment part of the habit, of those habits, is really just, it's just getting nourishing foods into your body, getting nutrients into your body. And so again, I like to make that distinction between I need to get these nutrients in my body, and then over here, I got to say no, you know, the temptations that are going on all the time. And so again, the strategy that I like to use is I like to call it the living vitamin strategy. And simply, it can be a smoothie, it can be salads, it can be just eating, raw vegetables, or sometimes cooked ones. But eating foods, living vitamins, is these foods are alive. We don't want to rely on vitamins. It's a real dangerous game to play, in my opinion. If you're trying to fulfill your vitamins and your minerals and the nutrients you need with vitamins, you're really putting a lot of faith into, you know, science and that pill maker. And it just, I don't think they're ever going to get it right, or they're not close to getting it right. I would rather rely on nature and the way that typically every other animal on the planet eats and how we used to eat. And so the living vitamin strategy is simply, we're not eating this smoothie or this salad because it tastes great. We're eating it because it's like a vitamin and it's giving us the things we need. That's kind of the paradigm we're wrapping around this. And so again, her big thing, if I had to summarize it, is she really talks about phytonutrients. And simply, phytonutrients are nutrients that are in wild plants that are there because basically, as these plants are growing, the sun is hitting them and the plants need to protect themselves from the sun. And so plants that are out in a lot of sun get dark in color because they get dark in color to protect themselves. And so those become the phytonutrients. And if you start thinking about this paradigm of, and again, there's lots of types of phytonutrients. I'm just going to use that as a big category. And if you start thinking to yourself, how many phytonutrients am I getting into my body on a regular basis? I think it's a great way to look at it. And the higher you get that number, I think the better you're going to feel, without question. The better your body's going to operate, the more efficient you're going to be. Okay. Now, again, I want to be clear. This is something that I have to deal with. And I know people, you know, when you hear this stuff, sometimes it can be like, okay, I got to change everything. Don't get overwhelmed by this, right? Because it can very quickly feel overwhelming. Oh, I got to change all this stuff. Instead, I'd rather you approach it kind of this steady, consistent action that you want to be taking. And so, as I always say, you know, ideally, you know, you really want to lock down breakfast, start with that one first, you know, then move on to lunch, kind of lock that down, get healthier and healthier stuff there, then move it on to dinner. All right. So that tends to work. Again, that's not set in stone. So you figure out whatever works for you. But again, it's steady, consistent action. It's not about changing 100% of reading all at once. Okay. So let's kind of hop into it. So the first thing, and again, I'm just going to go through this category of vegetables specifically. So I'm not going to touch on fruit. Okay. Because again, you know, I don't want to go on for an hour here, but I want you to understand the bigger picture, you know, of what's being said. And actually, let me just go back here. Whoops. Let me go back here real quick. So here's the big thing. And again, I don't say this to overwhelm you. So I like I said, I don't want this to sound overwhelming. Here's the thing. When we used to eat wild, we would go out and we would pick foods that were just growing in nature. Okay. And so again, there was lots of things going on. If a plant was going to grow in nature, it again, it got stronger. It was able to live there. It was a healthy plant that had the nutrients it needed to get it. You would pick it and you would eat it within at least a couple hours, most likely. Okay. And so phytonutrients kind of, it's different for different things, but the phytonutrients, as soon as you pick the fruit or the vegetable, they start decreasing, you know, the moment you pick them. And so right now, even when you're eating healthy from a supermarket, you're getting foods that have been picked days, weeks ago, you know, they've been picked unripe. And then they're ripened along the way. So again, I want to make clear that it's not just, oh, they're eating vegetables. They're eating vegetables that were grown naturally, right? No chemicals on them. And they were eaten almost immediately. Okay. So they were kind of, they were consumed in their peak of nutrition. And so when you really think about it, this is really something that a lot of us, we just never had. And so again, even if you had the supermarket and you're eating healthy from the supermarket, right? So we're really going to a healthy level here. So I want to be clear about that. And that's why I'm saying don't get overwhelmed by it. But even if you go to the supermarket, you're getting foods that again, are not the most nutritious, A, because they were picked a while ago. And B, what's ended up happening is once we began farming, what happened is farmers would naturally grow crops geared towards selling them. And what people tended to want more of is unblemished, perfect looking, sweet tasting foods. Okay. At the very least, they didn't want them to be bitter. And a lot of times the bitter phytonutrients that were in certain plants had a lot of the most healthy benefits to them. And yet, you know, again, over hundreds of years now, thousands of years since we've been doing agriculture, we've been kind of systematically getting rid of some of the healthiest foods and the healthiest varieties of foods. Okay. Because again, we want the sweeter, you know, the sweeter foods, the less bitter ones. Okay. So that's kind of the overview of where we're going in here. So again, you're going to notice some kind of consistent suggestions and that's what I want you to do, because again, it's not about, you don't have to change everything all at once, but if you can almost put a new pair of glasses on when you're looking at food in order to choose the healthiest ones, this can be a real game changer. Okay. So, we start with greens, and again, you know, you want to choose red, brown, purple, or dark green loose leaf varieties. Those are the healthiest ones. Again, if you pick loose leaf, means as opposed to a headed, like an iceberg is a headed variety. The thing with that is, okay, it's covered up, and so the outside leaves are healthier than the inside leaves, right? Because again, the inside leaves aren't being struck by the sun, and so they're not going to create the same amount of phytonutrients. When you have certain varieties that are open, again, those leaves are all getting sunlight. And so they become healthier. Okay. So one of the themes you're going to hear over and over again here is to choose the more colorful versions. And that is why, because again, in most cases, when a vegetable is darker or more colorful, it's because it needs to protect itself from the sun. And so that's kind of a basic theme I want you to understand, that the darker it is, the more protected it is, that it had to protect itself from the sun, the more nutrients it's going to have in general as a rule. Again, non-lettuce varieties. Again, so again, if you're consistently eating iceberg, branch out. Okay. Again, you can start the natural kind of progression. That was how it was for me. I started with iceberg. I moved on to romaine, and now I'm on to, again, a lot of non-lettuce varieties and loose leaf varieties, right? So again, arugula, radicchio, spinach, chard, you know, all of these types of, you know, greens are going to be healthier and give you more nutrients in them. And again, you want to choose the ones with the most colorful leaves. And so the big things we're focused on here, phytonutrients, and again, within that, minerals, vitamins, antioxidants, you know, fiber. These are the big things that we're getting. And so we're talking about kind of micronutrients. Macronutrients are protein, fat, carbs, right? And that's typically what you're hearing about. And that's got its place for measuring and tracking. But the thing is, if we're not getting the micronutrients we need, our body sends us a hunger signal, right? Just like if you don't get enough calories, your body sends you a hunger signal. So when you start genuinely nourishing your body on a micronutrient level, it is a game changer. And I can tell you that firsthand. It changes the whole equation. It changes your hunger levels because, again, you're now satisfying yourself on a very, very deep level, and you're giving your body what it truly, truly craves. You know, from literally our evolution as humans, this is what our bodies are craving. And so I want to just be clear one more time. This is not about what you have to stop eating. So what I'm saying is, if you're struggling with ice cream at night, these are two separate stories. Eat the ice cream at night, get these freaking greens and nutrients into your body as well. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you get enough of these nutrients in your body, it is going to make it easier to not eat the ice cream, to not eat the junky food. Okay, so first we got to build ourselves up, then we say no. I'm not sure how you say this, alliums. Basically, alliums are garlics, onions, that sort of thing. So garlic is wonderful, right? Again, a lot of people have considered it almost like a medicine. And so there's a ton of nutrients in it. One of the suggestions she makes that I thought was really good is that you cut it up and you press it. And again, you can use a garlic press, or you can just kind of break the clove and smash it. And then you let it rest for about 10 minutes. And what that allows it to do is the enzymes kind of break down and it releases more nutrients. Okay, so one of the other things we're going to talk about is there's the nutrients that are available in all these different vegetables, and then there's the bioavailability of it. Okay, so just like we'll talk about carrots in a few minutes, but just because a certain vegetable has a lot of nutrients in it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to get all of those nutrients. Okay, and so that's why cooking is important. That's why I would strongly suggest that book, because again, it's kind of an easy read. You can flip through it. But again, everything reacts a little bit differently. Okay. And so garlic's great, press and rest. Strongly flavored onions, you know, are the best for health. Red onions, again, going along with the color side of it. Again, kind of like the darker the color, the more bitter it is a lot of times, not always, that's going to imply that it's going to be more nutritious and better for you. Shallots are more nutritious than onions. Okay, I didn't know that. So again, if you have a choice between a white onion and a red onion, you know, go with the red onion. Okay? And then obviously you have a shallot, you know, if you want to cook with those, go ahead. Okay, because you're getting different nutrients in your body. Potatoes, I guess we'll talk about those. Again, right, you want to go with the colorful varieties. Eat the skins on these potatoes. They contain 50% of the antioxidant activity, and the fiber that's in the skins slows down the absorption of the potato, right? So this is going to matter, again, if you're getting white potatoes, right? So this is a great example of a vegetable that was really, over time, what became the easiest, and really with potatoes, she was mentioning, the thing about potatoes is you could plant, like, you know, a small batch of them and then tons of them grow. Right. So again, you get a lot for a little investment of time and energy. And so again, what potato did that the most was that white potato. Right. And so again, the white potato is a relatively higher glycemic index food, vegetable specifically. But again, you can get purple potatoes, and those are slower absorption, right? More nutrients in them. Eat the skins with them. Okay. Because that's going to help you, you know, help you manage them better as well. Let's talk a little about root vegetables. As I was saying, carrots. Okay. So choose whole carrots over baby ones, right? Baby carrots anyways are just, deformed carrots that they cut into, you know, a smaller shape, and they just call them baby carrots. But again, whole carrots are more healthy. This, as I was saying, right? So again, this is where it comes down to the bioavailability. When you cook a carrot, it helps break down the cell walls. And so it becomes easier for you to be able to absorb more of the nutrients that are in it. And so carrots are one of the vegetables where when you cook them, they actually become more nutritious than when you eat them raw, right? And then beyond that, steaming or baking them is more nutritious than boiling them. Okay, and that's going to be a general rule for most things when you're cooking vegetables. The boiling, what happens is the water leaches out a lot of the nutrients. And unless you're making a, you know, a soup stock with that water, you're basically dumping, you know, 50 to 80% of the nutrients away. Okay. And so steaming or baking them is going to be more nutritious than boiling. Right. And they actually have purple carrots now. And again, those are more nutritious, right? Again, kind of that basic rule that whatever's more colorful, darker is going to be healthier for you. Right. Now, again, that brings up a question, right? And this is what's interesting. And I don't know where you live, you know, so again, it's different for each person, but this is a good way to kind of judge, you know, where you're shopping. And so if you get an opportunity to, you know, go to farmers markets, go to a co-op, you know, go to a farm stand, what you may notice is they have different varieties of vegetables. And so sometimes we tend to think of their, I know, like I thought that with the cauliflower, right? All of a sudden they had purple cauliflower and I was like, oh, it's something new they made. No, it's something old they stopped making because people prefer the white ones. And so, again, it's almost like they're almost like heirloom vegetables that I thought were new. And so again, when you see different colored vegetables, try the different colors. You know, a lot of times the flavors will be slightly different, but a lot of times the nutrient levels are tremendously higher. And it's really crazy. That's why I say, get that book. She's got a lot of graphs in there showing some of the nutrient values of even just, you know, orange carrots versus purple ones, you know, and sometimes the differences just in the colors is tremendous. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 times more nutrients in them, you know, so, or antioxidants. So it's quite a difference. Beets. Again, when you cook the beets, eat the leaves too, right? Because the leaves are end up being more nutritious than the beets, and the beets are nutritious themselves. These are another one where the cooking increases the antioxidant properties. And so, again, you know, beets are kind of hard to eat raw anyways, but that's where, again, you know, sometimes cooking it makes it healthier for you, okay? And then sweet potatoes, right? And so a lot of us know about sweet potatoes. It's a nice alternative to potatoes. And again, they are higher in antioxidants and nutrients than sweet potatoes. They will lower your blood sugar much less, you know, than potatoes will, okay? Let's talk about tomatoes. Tomatoes, again, deep red tomatoes have more lycopene and overall antioxidant activity than yellow, gold, or green tomatoes. Okay, so again, we're looking for deep red tomatoes, darker the color, right? And also on tomatoes, for example, the smaller the tomato, typically, the higher its antioxidants and nutrients. Okay, so if you get the opportunity to eat, to grab smaller tomatoes, they tend to have more nutrients in them, you know, than some of the bigger ones. Again, I don't know why this is, but this is like one of those unhelpful coincidences that seem to happen, that a lot of times the bigger fruits tend to be less nutritious than the smaller ones. And that doesn't work in our society economically because the bigger fruits tend to sell for more. That's what people want, right? So again, they're easier to pick. And so there's a lot of economics that have gone into the foods that we have available to us. And so it hasn't been primarily nutrition that's been the primary driver of the foods we're eating. It's pretty much economy, you know, the economics of it. And bigger tomatoes are easier to pick. They're easier to sell. It's what people have gotten used to eating. And so we've literally, with a lot of these vegetables and a lot of these fruits, we have gotten used to eating more bland versions, less nutritious versions, right? Because again, they appeal to us on a different level where they're bigger and maybe, you know, they're perfect looking. And tomatoes are a great example of this. And I can tell you, because again, I'm telling you, I'm going through this journey just like you are. You know, I read that How Not to Die book last year, and that really changed my eating in a very dramatic way. And I've been studying nutrition for over 20 years, by the way, but sometimes it just takes a while for some things to just click in. But so tomatoes, so I joined a CSA a little while ago, which is sometimes if you live near a farm, what they'll do is they have these CSAs where you'll pay them whatever it is for the season. And every week or every other week, you'll get a bag of vegetables that they just picked. And so when I'm getting tomatoes off, you know, from the farm, you know, these tomatoes don't look like the tomatoes in the supermarket, right? They're not as perfect. The skin is sand, like sandpaper. It's rough. They're blemished. They go quickly. I've noticed that, right? You have to eat them very quickly because they will go bad. They get very soft. Okay. However, you know what I mean? It's just very different than what you're getting in the supermarket, where the main goal of the supermarket is to make everything kind of consistent, everything look the same. Right. And so, tomatoes, for example, a lot of times what they'll do, they'll pick tomatoes, you know, before they're ripe, they'll ship them, and then they'll ship them to a location where, again, they'll put certain gases in the air to help them ripen there. You see, so it's a very unnatural process, and it's all in the name of economics. And that's what's really dictated so much of the foods, the healthy foods too, by the way, right? So we're not even talking about processed foods. We're talking about when you go in the supermarket, these are the foods you thought were really, really healthy. But even within there, there's levels to it. So again, you know, it's interesting to start seeing, and that's part of the value. If you get a chance to go to co-ops, farm stands, whatever, notice there's a big difference, but it's not bad. We've gotten used to seeing things a certain way, but that's what this book was so helpful for me was, is saying, wow, a tomato that looks quote unquote unperfect or imperfect, is actually much more nutritious and better for you in a lot of ways. Here's what's interesting. Didn't know this. Cooking tomatoes can make them healthier because, again, it makes the nutrients more bioavailable. And so, you know, again, kind of cooking, you know, tomato sauce, you know, as you cook it and allow, you know, all those cell walls to break down, again, it actually makes it more nutritious. So crucifers, right? So let's start with broccoli. Broccoli is one of those ones, very, very nutritious. However, once it's harvested, it very quickly loses its nutrients. And so she would refer to it respirates very quickly, which means that you have to eat it quickly. Whole heads are more nutritious than the florets. And then again, with this one here, you're better off steaming them over boiling them, baking them over boiling them, right? Because again, boiling leaches a lot of the nutrients out. Cabbage. Okay. So cabbage, again, tons of nutrients in there. Red cabbage is going to be better than green cabbages or white cabbages. The nice thing about cabbage, again, it respires very slowly, so it can be stored a lot longer than broccoli, right? You can keep cabbage, will stay in good shape for a long time. Cauliflower, you know, as I mentioned, the colorful varieties have more antioxidants than the white one. So if they have a purple one, grab it. You see, what I do like about this, right? And again, this is, if you don't get overwhelmed by it, when you're making your vegetable decisions, you know what I mean? Just knowing this stuff, understanding, you know, smaller things typically better, colorful things better. And again, you have some basic understanding of these things I'm sharing with you. You know, when you're choosing your vegetables, one little difference, you know, again, they taste very similar, the purple and the white. One little shift, though, can double, triple, quadruple your nutrient value, your antioxidant value. Okay, so that's why understanding this can be tremendous. That's why I'm just going to recommend the book one more time, because even storing, I'm just kind of giving you a couple of high points here, but she even goes into how to store all these different varieties, how to prepare them so you get the most nutrients out of it. And so again, when you do this, you know, it's little shifts here. You know, this is really like, this is where you have a lot of leverage. A little shift you make in choosing which one you're going to get, where you're getting them from, can make a huge difference in the quality and the amount of nutrients and antioxidants you're getting. Okay. And so again, weight loss and health is really a game of inches, you know, so any little change you can make that's going to benefit you, you know, you want to do it. And then finally, kale. Kale's the healthiest crucifer, most nutritious when it's raw. Okay. Now, again, you can cook kale and it's still really nutritious, right? And this is one of those ones where you would rather steam it than you would want to boil it. Okay. But again, and that's what I mean. Kale, right? It doesn't have to be just so crazy. So it's most nutritious raw, but it's really good when it's steamed, you know, and cooked with some, you know, soy sauce or tamari or garlic and oil or whatever. And so maybe it's not quite as nutritious, but it's still really, really super nutritious. Okay. So again, these are some different types that you can eat. So legumes, right? So peas, the more colorful, the more nutritious, right? It's only a broken record with that, but I just want to really put that in your head. Eating the pods, right? When you get peas that are in a pod, eat the pods as well, right? Extra nutrients, extra fiber that you get. Beans, again, beans, I can tell you for myself, that's been the real discovery of the year for me. It's just kind of crazy to say. I'm a 20-year vegetarian, but I just never ate much beans, you know? And so beans are tremendous, a super, super duper great source of protein, you know, on the macro side. And then super really good for the antioxidants, the nutrients, on the micro side. Interestingly, canned beans are higher in antioxidants than home cooked ones. Right? So I found that was interesting. I was excited about that because I've been trying to cook beans for a year and it's a pain in the butt. I even got that Instapot and, it's kind of a crapshoot. Sometimes I come out with good beans. Sometimes they're not so good. So it was kind of cool to find out that the canned beans are actually healthier in certain ways. And the reason for that being that when they can them, they cook them at such a high temperature for so long that, again, it helps with the bioavailability and it kind of activates, you know, some different things. So here's the beans in order of the highest antioxidants in this order. I was a little bummed to see this because I eat a lot of chickpeas, right? But it starts lentils are the healthiest, black beans, small dark red kidney, and pinto. And again, there's lots of opportunities to eat beans. And I really, again, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm a little biased here. But this day and age, beans are really one of your cleanest sources of protein. And so, again, I have no problem with people eating meat. My issue with eating meat is the quality of it. And so if you're eating, again, if you're eating cows, you know, if you're eating beef that came from cows that have been, you know, eating grain, you know, getting hormones put in them, you know, with the antibiotics that they serve them, the stress hormones, it's just not the highest quality meat. You know, you're not getting the highest quality nutrients in that meat. So, again, if you're eating deer or if you're eating, you know, grass fed beef or wild, you know, animals, I think that's great. It's a great source of nutrients. But a lot of times, if you're eating conventional meats, it's just not. And so I just want to make that clear. And so again, the beans are just, it's just a cleaner source, you know? So what's it going on? Artichokes, asparagus, and avocados. Found out avocados were a fruit. I never do that. So we start with artichokes, right? Super high in oxidants and fiber, right? They're extremely nutritious, it turns out. They lose their food value quickly, okay? Meaning that once they're picked, you really want to eat them within a day or two, you know, very quickly. Steaming's better for the reasons we talked about. It maintains more of its nutrients in it. Asparagus, same thing, right? Eat it quickly. It's super high in nutrients and fiber. Okay. Avocado, get another one, extremely nutritious, contains soluble fiber and good fats. Okay. So again, please don't think the avocado, thinking that's fattening, right? Comparing that to like a donut, they're totally different types of fats, right? And they respond and act totally differently in your body. Okay. So don't be worried about eating avocados. Eat more avocados. It's a good fat. And what it will do is eating more avocados will satiate you more, make you more full, and it will cause you typically to eat less bad fats. Okay. So don't be scared to eat avocados, right? Oops. Ben, let me go back to that. Got one more. Oops. Let's go through this again. And on some general guidelines. There we go. Okay. So a few general guidelines, right? So I want to give you a couple specifics. You know, if anything, I really just want to convince you to get that book because it'll be 100 times more valuable than just this lesson here. But I think this is, again, I wanted to reemphasize some certain points that I've mentioned 100 times. Okay. So just general guidelines, right? The fresher, the better. And so, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Now you don't have to put your thinking hat on. I don't know where you live, right? I'm very lucky where I live in terms of having access to some pretty fresh foods. Okay. But you want to start adding this criteria to your list, right? The fresher, the better. You know, without question, it makes a huge difference because almost all of these, as soon as they're picked, and it's funny, I'll tell you what, you know, even like last year, I remember I was talking about this because I go apple picking sometimes. And every time I've done this for years, but it was like, as soon as when you eat an apple, you pick it and you eat it, there's just something to it. Now I used to have, again, I used to be a raw foodist 20 years ago for a little while, excuse me. And I used to think like, oh, there's life energy and it's got all these enzymes in it. And I didn't really, it was kind of a woo-woo explanation of it. But really what's happening is the phytonutrients. And as soon as you pick it, they start to degrade. That simple. So the fresher the food is for you that you're eating, the healthier. It's that simple. And so I want to talk about the healthiest kind of hierarchy here. And I know you may not be able to do all this, but I just want to put this idea in your mind. The first one is growing your own. And this is a path that I'm just kind of embarking on. I've kind of played around with gardens, but I've never really committed to them. And so now that I think to myself, you know, if I could grow, and again, I'm not going to live off this garden. You see what I mean? But it's like, it's a way to get some really healthy vegetables in my body, not just because they're healthy varieties, but because I'm able to eat them as soon as they're picked, right? I'm eating them literally at their height of nutrient value and food value and everything that's good in them. So growing your own is the top. And so if you don't have a garden, you don't have room for a garden, there's container gardening. And I'll probably do a lesson on that. I just got a book on indoor container gardening. So I'm curious to see what that's all about. But, you know, again, maybe you're cooking tomatoes, you know, every little bit helps, We tend to look at these stupid little vitamins like they're going to save our lives, right? These expensive little vitamins, and you know, that we can buy. And I'm not saying they can't, you know what I mean? I'm not an expert on vitamins by any means, but certainly, you know, having a whole unprocessed natural food and eating it as soon as it's ready to eat at the height of ripeness, at the height of its powers, is going to be at least at the very least on a par with a vitamin. So, you know, again, it doesn't have to be that you're living off this, but to have that as an extra is just going to be helpful. It's going to be beneficial. CSAs, right? So again, if there's any local farms around you, look them up. Now you can Google search a CSA, you know, your area, CSA's farm, right? See what's going on. You're not only supporting, right? Again, you find organic, the CSA I'm with, they're all organic farming. So again, I'm supporting organic farming. I'm supporting a family-run business, which is, I think this is their second or third generation. It's really great produce. It's the best produce I've ever gotten, you know? And on top of that, the fourth thing you just add is when you get this, so every week you get a big bag of vegetables. And so again, it doesn't guarantee that you'll eat them because I've done this before and I'd thrown them out because I couldn't keep up with it. But I've gotten better at it. And so this year we get it and I keep up with it because I'm eating more of it. So again, I think it encourages you to eat more vegetables because you're like, God, I spent this money. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to make sure I do it. So again, CSAs are great. Farmers markets are good. You know, so if you have any local ones that you're in your area, find out about them. Go check them out. What's going to happen is you'll probably find different types of these vegetables, right? That's kind of exciting. You're going to find fresher vegetables, you know, and fruits, fresher food. And again, you're supporting, you know what I mean? You're supporting good people, you know, that are doing good things. So again, farmers markets are great as well. Co-ops, you know, super, because again, a lot of times they're working, you know, intimately with these farmers. And so they're getting the stuff very quickly. You're getting fresh food. And again, a lot of times there's a decent selection because they're usually getting the best, you know, from the farmers. So co-ops, if you've got one in your area, you know, I strongly suggest joining it, you know, because again, you get some great nutrition from there. Grocery store. Okay. And again, there's all types of grocery stores. And so, you know, this kind of goes from the Whole Foods, you know, and that's great. You know, they call Whole Paycheck. It's very expensive. So I'm a bigger fan. Like I live in an area that's not a rich area, and we have a supermarket here that it's almost, I mean, it's not a discount grocery, but it's just not, it's the one in town, and it's a small kind of locally run place. But here's the thing. While they don't have the biggest selection of the most food in the world, they seem to work again with a lot of the local farmers. So they will have local produce there, you know, more than like, we've got like a Stop and Shop and a Big Y, Hannaford's, you know, those type of places, which again, they're dealing on bigger scales. The food's just less healthy in general. Okay. So again, if you can find a local grocery store, go see what they got, you know, in terms of vegetables. And then the next thing is, again, store them properly, right? It's a little thing to do to learn how to store these different things, right? Again, so, you know, get broccoli respires quickly, asparagus, you know, again, same thing, respires quickly, cabbage doesn't, carrots, again, it's just different. They all act a little bit differently. And when you understand that, again, you're making your food dollar go further and you're getting more nourishment, you know, out of them, you know, by the time you eat them. And then again, eating them as quickly as possible. And again, that's a new one for me. I didn't know really a lot of this stuff. I'll be dead honest. You know, so I say that to you because that's the exciting part. I want you to feel excited because, you know, so often, I want to end this kind of lesson here with something I realized this week. Cause I've been playing a video game with my son and, it's like a Lego Marvel video game. And what you do is you're different characters and you get to a level and you got to do stuff, you know, fight certain people and move certain things, whatever, to get to the next level. But here's what's interesting. You know, you start out the game and you start at that first level and you're just flubbing around, messing things up. And then you kind of figure things out and you finally figure it out and you get through that level and then you get to the next level. Right now you're flubbing up there and you're just kind of figuring it out, pushing yourself through it. You figure it out, you get to the next level. What ends up happening as you keep playing it is you start to recognize the little clues, right? So each time you get to a new level, you're recognizing little hints and the clues quicker than you did before. But I like this. What I'm trying to share with you here is that a lot of times people think success, especially with weight or health, they just think of like a straight line going up, of just a straight line of success. And that's not really how things work. It's more like a straight line than a plateau. Straight line, plateau, dip, straight line up, plateau. That's more what it's like. And so I share that with you because I read this book and I realize these things about nutrients, and I feel dumb that I didn't realize it before. But sometimes you just don't realize things until you realize them. So again, I want you to understand this is a long-term process, and it's so exciting because you just never know when you're going to learn something. It's just going to, I don't know, it snaps things into place, and you can see things better, and you can just keep getting better and better and better and better and better results. And I think that understanding nutrients this way is one of those things. Nutrients, antioxidants. To me, it really explains a lot of the health woes that are going on in this country, even on a deeper level. Right? Because again, people say, well, you got to eat, you know, better. Well, what's better? Right? Obviously eating less processed foods. Okay, let me eat vegetables and fruits. And I've done that for a while, but then I realized, oh my God, there's a whole other level of nutrition, you know, right above it. So, you know, it's exciting. So I start integrating that, and it's exciting, and I can feel it. It you feel different. Sometimes you really strike gold with this stuff. And so this here, I'm telling you, is striking gold. And if you live in a place where there's no fresh food, again, I don't want you to freak out. I want you to become resourceful, to start investigating. There's always a solution. There's always something you can do, you know, to get the healthiest foods into your body. But when you do start getting your body nourished regularly, genuinely nourished. And I say that because before this book, I just didn't get the phytonutrient thing. I didn't get the sun has to hit these things and it makes up these vitamins that we ingest, and it affects us again, nutritionally, antioxidants, right? So antioxidants are basically repairing. We have natural oxidation in our body. Okay. From processes that happen in our body, and that oxidation creates damage, right? Just like oxidation of metal that you've seen, it creates damage in our body. So the antioxidants literally help repair that. And that's going to affect cancer, you know, potentials, you know, heart disease, diabetes, the way your body functions, hormone function, a lot of stuff. And so again, antioxidants, we don't really think about, you know, other than, oh, I can get some new vitamin powder, some new mix that's got a lot of antioxidants, or it's fortified and they got antioxidants. But listen, the most solid form of nutrition you can get at the end of the day is these wild foods, right? These natural, healthy, wild foods that you're eating as quickly as you can, you know, from the time they were picked. That's the healthiest thing you can do. So that's kind of the pinnacle, the peak. And, you know, again, so think of it that way and move in that direction. It's not something you can just... Some people maybe, but a lot of people can't just, okay, that's it. I'm just going to eat this way 100%. It doesn't work that way. But if you can get these things consistently, if all of a sudden you can get, you know, I don't know, 15% of your calories is on this level, that's going to make a big difference. Okay. So, all right, cool. I was excited to share that with you. Well, let's see what we got. What are people saying here? Purple cabbage versus eggplant. Oh, that's a good one. You know, she didn't talk about eggplant. So that's interesting. I don't have the answer for that, you know? I would say they're probably both really good, but I couldn't say for sure. But yeah, I would take it, right? Because again, and so by the way, though, but she didn't talk about eggplants, but I can't think what she was talking about now, but as many of the fruits, I forget what it was. But she was saying if something's covered, again, even the darker, so I would say just based what she's saying, the eggplant, right? It's black on the outside and it's white on the inside. Pretty much. And the purple cabbage is kind of purple all the way through. It's got white parts to it, but it's mostly purple. In that sense, I would say just going by this, probably the purple cabbage, you know, but I'm not sure. But I did notice that that's kind of the theme over and over and over and over again. If it's darker, you know, it's typically going to be better. So anyways, that would be what I would say. I love veggies, but I probably need to be more careful about the dressings. Yeah, definitely. You know, so here's the thing, right? And again, it's this steady, consistent improvement, Pat. That's super that you love the veggies. So that's great. And veggies with dressing is better than no veggies with no dressing. Okay. Remember, this is about nourishment. Nourishment is separate from what I shouldn't eat. Okay. So always do that stuff first. But then on the same hand, again, you intentionally, I don't need that much dressing. I guarantee you can use less dressing and enjoy it just as much. And so you slowly whittle the dressing down a little bit. Let that be on your mind. The other one is to choose healthier dressings. Okay. And healthier dressings are things that have less ingredients, right? So if it doesn't have like guar gum in it, that's always a good sign. If it's just like olive oil and vinegar, you know, that's about as healthy as that dressing is going to get. Okay. So again, minimize how much you're using and optimize how healthy it is and how good the ingredients are. Artichokes are nutritious. Yes. Yeah. Shocking, right? I didn't know that either. I just bought a bag of baby carrots, right? I thought the same thing. Like I said, my wife had to tell me this, right? Because I was like, oh man, chickpeas. I eat chickpeas all the time. And they're one of the less nutritious, antioxidant full beans. And those are the ones I eat a ton of those and black beans. So it's always like, oh man. But like my wife said, she's like, you know, geez, you know, the scale you're looking on, they're still nutritious. There's tons of fiber in them. There is still nutrition in them. There is still antioxidants in them. So this is all relative. So yeah, the baby carrots aren't as nutritious as the purple carrots, but they're still more nutritious than a bag of chips. You see what I mean? So let's not lose sight of, you know, the world we live in here. Cause I fall into that too. Cause like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, once I realize something, I really want to go all for it, but enjoy those baby carrots. They're not bad for you. Let me put it that way. So grape tomato would be better than the larger ones. Yes. As a rule, that's going to be true. I don't know why. I couldn't answer why that is. It just seemed, that was a theory in the book too, is that cause she would reference like, wild versions of things. One was corn, for example. And she was saying, this is very interesting. I didn't realize this, but wild corn, I don't know, hundreds of years ago, I forget how long ago, but it was basically like a string with 12 kernels on it. And the kernels were like a hard shell you had to crack open. And then there was the kernel inside of that they ate. And then all of a sudden through, again, just through accidents and through farming of intentionally trying to make certain types of foods, you know, we end up getting the corn we have today. I don't know why I went on a thing about corn there, but anyways, yeah, I don't know why smaller things seem to be bigger than larger ones, but that seemed to be the case. What does that mean? My homemade hummus with dried beans is less healthy than the canned chickpeas. Yeah, Connie, can you believe that? I thought the same thing, and I joke about that, and some of you I've told you this about, but my struggles with beans, right? I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I always thought I was, you know, I could hold my own, and then I tried cooking beans, and like I said, it's just, they come out different every time. So here's the thing though. Here's the other side though. Canned beans, right? Canned chickpeas, they have a ton of sodium in them, right? So then now you have to add that in. You can get ones sometimes that have no salt in them, okay? And so that's what they're saying. You know, those are gonna be the healthiest ones because again, the canning process actually, you know, helps them be a little healthier. Now again, right? We're splitting hairs here. On this level. So if you're homemade, if you're making dried beans and you're making hummus, again, the increase in value you're getting from the canned chickpeas, it's probably pretty negligible. So I wouldn't lose too much sleep on that. But yeah, I was shocked by that, right? Yeah, hummus is great. It's a super duper way. Now again, right? So I was, okay, well, chickpeas don't have as much nutrients or antioxidants, but again, there's the fiber. And so, you know, fiber is so important that because there's all these different things to it. So the fiber is feeding your microbiome. It's feeding your good bacteria. It's helping slow down the absorption of the food. So that's super. Okay. So there's still a lot of health benefits to that. But again, if you had a choice, there's two bowls in front of you and one had, you know, lentils in it, one had chickpeas. Again, the lentils are just healthier. And so what that means, I think, is just kind of rotate them around. I'll tell you what, this has got me excited about this book is that, I want to eat all these different things. So that's why I'm recommending it so hard, because I think that it just, it makes you realize just how much good nutrition there is. And, you know, this goes back to the idea that addictive health, how good can you feel? You know what I mean? Like what is the ceiling for how good you can feel? I mean, that's what I'm after. It jazzes me up. And when I find big things like this, I always just say, even myself, I'm like, okay, the supermarket, you know, if I get the vegetables, I'm healthy. And so to all of a sudden look at that and say, oh my God, there's a whole four more layers of health above that. It's a little discouraging. It's a little overwhelming at first, but the other side of it is, oh my God, you know, how good can I feel if I really charge up my body and give it what it truly, truly wants and needs? How can I feel? And there's no, I don't even know anyone to even reference. I don't know anyone who eats like this, you know? So it's exciting. And I hope you have some of that excitement as well. And so even if you're eating some crappy stuff after dinner, even if you have a crappy dinner, if you had a really nutritious lunch, you know, and again, you just stack that full of nutrients, it's going to change the rest of your day. All right. Yep. Title of the book. Yeah. Eating on the Wild Side, Joe Robinson. Yep. You got it. super duper book. Again, I would, the my book of the year last year was How Not to Die. And I think that's kind of the scientific companion to this. And I think they're both tremendous. I recommend both very, very highly. My tomatoes this year are amazing. Yeah, cherry and grape tomatoes grow well here. Super. That's awesome. And tomatoes are really good for container gardening. You know, so again, it's just one extra little thing. And you could taste it too, can't you? You guys know that if you're growing them, the difference in flavor is between that and like the ones you get in the supermarket are just night and day, you know, huge difference. And anyways, it's super when you're able to grow your own. And so now what I want you to do as well is I want you to layer over that it's extra nutritious. Okay. Great. All right, you guys, Washington, nice. Yeah, Washington's a beautiful area for sure. What is the CSA? Community supported agriculture. Yeah, that could be a Carol. I don't even know what it stands for, but like I said, it's farms that are selling their vegetables. But again, they're picking them, so it's about as fresh as you can get, short of growing it yourself. And so, and like I said, I think the bonus is you're going to get that big bag of food you paid for, and it's going to encourage you to eat it. Now, again, let me just make one more quick point. And I've kind of said this, but I'll make it very, very explicit. This goes in the living vitamin idea. I look at that bag of food, that bag of vegetables when they come in, and I'm not as excited as when I see like the grocery store bag come in with like crackers or cookies. Do you understand? So I want to be clear. They're not competing. When you see those vegetables come in, I want you to be thinking nutrients. That's why this book's so helpful, because it gives you a pair of glasses to wear and then look at those vegetables and not just think taste, because the vegetables don't win on taste. And that's what I found interesting, that literally as soon as people started doing agriculture, as soon as they started farming, they instantly, and again, not realizing it, they instantly started to make their food less healthy, because again, they would weed out the more bitter foods. They would weed out the smaller foods, and again, unintentionally, they were making the things less nutritious, you know? So when you're looking at these vegetables, I want you to think with a lens of looking through a set of glasses of nutrition, of antioxidants, of phytonutrients getting into your body and just working their magic. Okay. Cause you understand what a vitamin is. And so this is like the next level of it. And that's how I want you to think about it. My connection, I don't know if I'm going, I don't know. You know how it goes here, everyone. Sometimes I go quiet and it makes me crazy. So I don't know why it does that and I can't figure it out. All right. Oh, well, sorry, Pat, your connection. It might be your connection then if other people are doing it. Okay, good. It's working. Yes, the books at the library. Yeah, super duper. Yeah, it's so good. I'll tell you what, too. If you read it and you really like it, one of the things I like to do, I always get all my books through the library. And if I really, really like it, it makes the list, I get it. And a lot of times I'll check eBay first. I just bought this book on eBay. I think it was $4 and it was like very good condition. So if you read it and you really like it, it's one of those books that if it resonates with you, it's definitely, I think, one that it's worth putting into the library. I'm working on eating a lot more veggies. Great. Super. And again, I just want to make that one clear. The veggies, what you're eating, what you're nourishing yourself with is the foundation. And it gives you the strength and the foundation to say no to the crap. It lowers your cravings. It calibrates your taste to more natural flavors. You understand? So I think a lot of people make the mistake of just trying to say no to all the bad stuff. But they're trying to eat as little as possible. They're trying to say no all the time. But what they're doing is they're starving themselves of vital nutrients. They're kind of weakening themselves. They're not eating enough. They're in a bad mood. And all of those things make it very difficult to keep saying no. It's not a good long-term strategy. So filling yourself up, really filling in the foundation with all this healthy, 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 nourishing, food, it changes the entire game that you're playing here. It makes it completely different. I like purple cabbage more than eggplant. Yep. Purple cabbage is super good. It's great. And it's great. It's just easy. It's one of those things, purple cabbage, like I put that in my salad. I don't even notice it, you know, but there it goes. It's just an easy way to do it. Shop at the Saturday Farmers Market. Perfect. Right. And again, I'm more excited to see it. Cool. Popcorn. Yeah. Popcorn's fine, by the way. You know, popcorn, here's the thing, right? So popcorn, I don't think I went through corn. One of the things about corn is, they have like blue corn right? If you can get a hold of that, that's a lot healthier than the yellow corn that we, or white corn that we get typically. But popcorn's fine, Connie. And again, that's one of those things, right? We're being relative here. Now, if you're cooking the popcorn, like if it's a microwave popcorn with a bunch of oil and butter in it, obviously that's a different story than air pop popcorn. Okay. But, no, popcorn's fine. Yeah. yeah. Right. Eating popcorn every day. You know, I don't know if you want to do that, but on the other hand, I don't know. I mean, it's like, again, everything's relative, Pat. Right. So it's like, it's kind of like, right. So if somebody typically eats like cookies and, you know, potato chips, you know, all at night after dinner every night. And then all of a sudden they switch it out and they start eating popcorn. Right. And if it's air pop popcorn, right, that's a better choice. You know what I mean? So everything's relative, and it doesn't always have to be that. We tend to think in the all or nothing mindset. It's just very difficult not to do that. So if we're struggling in one area, we tend to think the answer is to not eat anything at all in that area or to eat perfectly. But sometimes I want you to think there's kind of a middle step a lot of times we can take. And so popcorn may be that for you. And what you do is it becomes, and I remember I worked on this with a client a couple months ago. We were talking about this. And so it started out with the popcorn at night habit. Then we talked about how you can make it healthier. And so air popping, less butter. Then I went to eating, you know, a quarter less and a half less. And I think that might've been where she was, or I think I started intermittent fasting. So she might have eventually kind of wiped it all out. But again, remember, it doesn't always have to be, you know, 100 to 0 miles an hour, right? It's not a problem to go from 100 to 75 to 60 to 50 to 30 to zero, right? So again, think longer term, make it comfortable for you, prepare for long-term success though. Okay. Great. Blue corn chips. Yeah. Blue corn chips are healthier than white corn chips, you know, but corn chips in general aren't the healthiest thing, you know, but again, everything's relative. So that's what I mean though. What I love this and I love so much is that you really, with this knowledge, you can really consistently make with very little effort, right? If you're going to eat corn chips, for example, if you choose the blue ones over the white ones, right? That's an easy, small thing to do, right? But again, you're, I don't know what the difference would be nutritionally, but you're getting more nutrients, right? You're getting a better food into your body. And so I think that, that's really helpful. So cool. All right, guys. Yeah. Like I said, get this book. I really think it will really support you in this and it'll help you kind of put this all together. And you guys wrote some great stuff in here. Yeah. Check out the blue one. Yeah. So if they got blue, I don't know if Doritos would make blue ones, you know, who knows, but I know there's natural ones. Actually, I know for a second, they used to call them, they're kind of like in the healthy areas usually, but they have like, Garden of Eden, they have blue chips and they got some different like spicy blues. I'm used to get those. So anyways, those are good. Cool. All right, everyone. So super duper. Next week, I'm actually going to be gone. So there will not be a class next week. It's a better brand. Yeah, obviously. And so there's another, right? Just a general guideline, general rule is the smaller the company making the food. I shouldn't say that. The bigger the company making the food, typically the less healthy it's going to be. You know, just again, this is a general rule. It's not 100%, but just in general, that's going to be the case. So yeah, I would go for the smaller ones. You know, they're usually going to be working with smaller farms. Smaller farms typically means fresher food, better quality, more nutrition. You know, it goes right down the line. But like I said, I think this book gives you a better, it really filled in some holes that I had, some nutrition understandings I had, and it helped me gain a better understanding of kind of the lineage of food. That I think is going to serve me well. So great, everyone. Yeah, have a great week. Like I said, we'll be out next week. We'll be gone. We'll be back the next week and we'll start hitting it running, right? Cause we'll hit the fall off. That just naturally is a season to start, you know, kind of doubling down and really kind of focusing and getting ourselves ready for the next, you know, really the way I like to look at it, those of you who've been around for a little while. I like to model kind of the school year. There's kind of natural rhythms to our culture. And so I like to hit, September, I think, is a great month to focus and really, you know, do well with your eating and your exercise and do all the stuff you want to do. October into November, so that by the time Thanksgiving comes, you're in a really good place. And then you kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit and start to recover from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And so you don't have to hit it quite as hard, but you're already kind of coasting because you've been doing so much work and you're doing really well. You know, and then the new year comes up and again, you kind of redouble down, refocus. There's a lot of cultural kind of momentum that supports that approach, you know? And so we'll kind of, hey, great job, Connie, right? Lost 5 pounds in the past 4 weeks. That's super. And so, by the way, though, right? So even with this nutrient stuff, right? We're really talking about, I don't want to keep going, but let me just mention this real quick. We know about calories, right? Creating a caloric deficit is the king of weight loss. But right below it, the queen of it really is kind of this hormonal, what's going on hormonally. And so again, the more vegetables and kind of natural fruits you can get into your body, they are naturally have a lower calorie density, right? So again, you're going to be eating them and you're going to be full and satisfied, but you're going to be having consumed less calories. And so that's going to help you lose weight. But the other side is it's going to help you balance out your hormones. It's going to help your body run more optimally, right? And so again, a lot of weight loss is really chemical. And so we are, when we're eating this way, when we're eating more vegetables, when we're eating more fruits, we are keeping our hormones in check. We're not getting those spikes and those crashes, you know, that kind of throw us into a whirlwind. So again, it really does support you losing your weight. And on top of that, it just helps you to operate like a top, you know, gives you more executive function, helps you make better decisions. Right. So again, I strongly suggest this. I'm a big fan of it. And I hope that you enjoy the book if you get it. Cool, everyone. Have a great 2 weeks and I'll see you all in 2 weeks. Have a great 2 weeks and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye, everyone.